Let's get to our guest, Stephen Innes, managing partner at SPI Asset Management. So, Stephen, the Calibrate comment was kind of pushed aside a little bit today because we have this big number coming tomorrow. And if you look at PPI today, that number tomorrow is probably going to be a little scary. However, the Calibrate comment is still there. And what if this number isn't quite so hot? What does that mean?
Well, you know, the market's very much in the data-dependent mode, and I would imagine for a great degree the Fed will be also. But will one softer note change the tone of the markets right now? That might be a bit too much to ask, but it'll certainly take a lot of heat off of the risk-off narrative I think we have right now. I think arguably rates volatility are driving stock market volatility. Of course, a lot of that is getting driven by the UK asset meltdown. But also, if we look over in the US, a lot of the US rate hike narrative is getting pressured by higher Fed. So I think any sign that we're plateauing on inflation, given that inflation is the Fed's big narrative right now, I think that could be okay for risk. Not great. I think it could be okay. I think we'll need to see consecutive runs of weaker inflation data.
And as you say, a Fed pivot, a distant memory, but we're looking potentially to a Fed pause. When does that happen? And I guess just to your point about what we saw in the UK as well, how much is central bank credibility on the line at the moment?
Yeah, well, you know, the markets are already testing metal, this intervention metal. I mean, we saw in Japan breaking the line in the theoretical line in the standard, the intervention level on the yen. We're seeing it in the UK, but I think, you know, there's so much intervention and they're pretty much, you know, prevented, they didn't pull the rug from under the pension funds. And that was a good thing in the UK. And I think there's probably a semblance that the Bank of England knows what pension funds have on the book here. And the market's a little bit more relaxed going into the last day of the buybacks. But I still think there's going to be a lot of fireworks there. Hence, I think there's going to be a lot of fireworks continuing on and the rates volatility. Just look at the MOVE index. It's trading up, you know, 160. And these are unheard of levels, you know, for bond markets. It's obviously, if the bond markets aren't calm, it's indicating some dysfunction in broader markets. And I think this is why investors are worried here. And look, I don't even think an easing in yields is necessarily going to bring back your typical investors. Sure, the machines will kick in, but your longer term typical type investors will be very, very reticent to come back in the market, especially with macro volatility so high. And this just ongoing tumult that we see in markets, whether it's from geopolitical concerns or whether it's from hawkish Fed, that's the problem.
So we're looking ahead to the Party Congress in China on the weekend and what kind of policy pivot we might see there with regards to COVID. But when it comes to the PBOC, do you think they could potentially preserve room for a policy rate cut amid the global recession risk?
Well, I honestly think that's one of the release valves that the market has right now. You know, outside of a Fed pivot, we could probably look towards China for either fiscal or some sort of policy measure. But I do believe it's a little bit unlikely right now. I think they're more focused on the domestic landscape. So we may see targeted rate cuts that apply specifically to internal values, not necessarily rate cuts on the broader scale that are going to improve global sentiment. So what I'm looking more for is these, you know, perhaps around housing, perhaps around infrastructure that are really geared towards domestic concerns, not necessarily international concerns.
I think what we're hearing is the buzz is that there may be a change, a policy shift, but not in the way that people think, that it'll be more like towards national security at the expense of economic growth, and that they will lower down, you know, the sort of quote unquote economic development number one priority. So that's something that we'll definitely be watching out for. On the practical side, as we look at risk tolerance and buying stocks and such and investment, do good dividend stocks look less attractive now, given that their yields are actually lower now than what even sovereigns are?
Yeah, I mean, everything looks unattractive right now, and that's the problem. We're in this type of market, and I think that's harping back to the rates volatility, yields pressing higher, and that really plays negatively into what you just correctly alluded to, is the dividend stocks where the payouts are actually lower than what you can get from yields, and let alone the equivalent credit rating yields that you could get for similar stocks. And this is part of the problem that we're seeing in markets. We're seeing a widening in those credit spreads. We're seeing a race higher in yields. And this is also causing a lot of negativity through the broader markets.
We talked about the global recession fears, and certainly had the IMF this week as well downgrading global growth forecasts. What does the oil picture look like as we've seen a little bit of steadiness in that market, but these slowdown concerns potentially offsetting some of the supply cuts we're getting from OPEC?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like oil's one of those assets where anytime you get some bad news, market goes into sell mode, and we've got back-to-back-to-back bad news. China lockdowns, we had the IMF, and obviously OPEC last night came out and downgraded their growth and demand forecast. Not expected, unexpected, mind you, because they did cut production. But I still look at oil being able to lift up here. I think the production cut was quite significant by OPEC. I think where the next major catalyst is going to come from, despite threat of reserves from the U.S. coming back and perhaps increase in OPEC legislation, would be the return of China moving out of this COVID lockdowns and COVID repressive policy, perhaps as we enter 2023, and this could be a big boost for medium-term oil prices.
I guess my biggest curiosity, Stephen, from you is whether or not you see enough signs of inflation coming down to be at all optimistic going forward. We've talked about shipping prices and commodities and used cars and inventories getting bloated. Is it enough to have some optimism or no?
Yeah, these are good things. You know, we have to see a continuation in that. The worrying aspect is the jobs report is one of the key metrics that the Fed Reserves uses. And this sort of implies that demand is still fairly strong in the U.S. markets because jobs are still strong. But we have to see a continuation of the froth coming off the inflation side of the market, particularly the core. I think on the overall side here, I think we've seen that significant drop in gasoline prices, which is really going to help out the bigger picture as far as the broad CPI. But it's the core prices that markets are still concerned about, and because the Fed is still concerned about. So we have to keep an eye on those.
Always a pleasure, Stephen. Thank you. Stephen Innes is Managing Partner at SBI Asset Management with us on the line from Bangkok here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.